Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hello, welcome to the latest edition of Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast guaranteed to last longer than the average Daniel Sturridge performance. I'm Graham Brown. I am here with Joe Chapman. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Graham. How are you?
I'm very well.
He's hanging.
Yeah, right. So I'm significantly hungover, so which is terrifically, terrifically professional of me.
But drowning, you know, those sorrows. That was gut wrenching, wasn't it? The Chelsea game.
I think that's it. Well, the average Albion fan needs a bit of a drink these days. So yeah, it just wash away those tears. We're going to do a couple of things in this week's podcast. Thank you for joining us. Mostly today is about going through the 10 moments that have shocked the Hawthorns in this millennium. So looking back to 2000, the biggest moments that left your mouth agape, and then we're going to go on to talk about the big debate at the moment, Joe.
Yes, ahead of this weekend's welcoming of Southampton in the FA Cup fifth round, we're kind of just trying to drum up a bit of interest in the debate whether Albion fans would willingly sacrifice Premier League football for an FA Cup. I suppose if Albion were more amongst the kind of the battle that's ensuing above them in the league at the moment, it might be more of a pertinent question. But being rooted to the bottom of the league table at the moment, the way it is, the overriding feeling, at least initially, is that Albion fans would take the cup.
Yeah, offers a bit of escapism. We'll actually come back to that at the end, which is probably a good idea because a lot of you are going to be listening to this after we've played Southampton, and you might not want it to be trudged in your face. Should we lose 4-0 at home? So we'll come back to that later. So we're going to kick off now, but we're going to talk about the 10 biggest shocks that we've seen at the Hawthorns. We've been going through this, myself and Joe, and we're just going to talk through those moments, most of which we were there for. Starting off with one that Joe wasn't there for because he's only about 12. the win against Charlton on the final day in 2000 to stay up. I think this is a kind of a monumental time in the kind of history of the Albion, really, because it signalled the kind of beginning of the Gary Megson era. Someone like me, I was an Albion fan from the age of five in 1987, and it was just, you know, the whole the 90s and everything was just awash with kind of depression, and it was just that. I think that was that day. It was that day at the Hawthorns where people kind of got a feeling that something was about to change, and obviously it did. You know, the next season we were sort of fighting out at the top. The season after that, we actually went up. It kind of changed everything. The crowds, 22,000 there on the day, that didn't really happen. The goals that coming from Sneakers and Taylor, you know, it was kind of that there were two of our kind of better quality players. You were starting to see the effect of some of the players that Megson brought in. It was kind of a bellwether for the future, really, and we still, I think, to this day are kind of benefiting from it.
It was quite a significant result, that, in as much as, I mean, it kept Albion in the second tier, but when you look at where Megson took Albion from there,
yeah,
in order to provide a platform, you know, the year after that, they were in the playoffs, weren't they?
I believe,
before being beaten by, I'm going to test my memory, Bolton, yeah, over two legs. So, and then of course the automatic promotion came the year after. So, you do wonder where Albion would have been had they fallen into the third tier.
Yeah, that was just an epic game. It's funny actually because it was in the hands of quite a transient team, really. You know, it was back at that time when you've got you had George Santos and various other people on loan, and you know, just players that they'd kind of scrabbled together, having got there and had a couple of games to realise that we didn't actually have any good players. it was an incredible time. And to go from a positive to a negative. So number two moments that have shot the Hawthorns. This one kind of splits into two, and I think you and I have a different view on this. I would say, I know this is very fresh in the memory for me, but
yes,
the moment that shot the Hawthorns.
It's both ends of the millennium spectrum, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're going from 2000 pretty much to the modern day.
Yeah. Well, the first home game after Cyril's death. I mean, I've gone on this podcast about it already, but I've never ever had the heart ripped out of me quite so much as I did with that. And you know, the talked again about it before. You know, bursting with pride about what the club did, and then the performance just robbed me of everything. Maybe hence why I'm hungover today. But yeah, I've never felt that at a football match. But I know you think that potentially the Astor game was even more so.
Yeah, I just think the fact that going back to Astor Day, that day, it was something that we were building up to for a long time. The Justice for Jeff campaign was going on for months and months, and you know, the Astor family were of course, it was a very, very worthwhile campaign, and Albion as a club recognised that they came together, and it was a very, very special day. I remember that. It was the fact that they had managed to secure permission to wear that famous 1968 kit, and against Leicester as well, against a team that obviously were on the up, and on paper very much like Southampton game for Regis Day, it was a very winnable game, and Albion got themselves in front not once but twice, and I suppose it was probably just the manner in the defeat. The day for Regis as a whole was very, very special. Everything the club did, they need to be applauded for off the field. It was brilliantly put together, and of course it was very, very raw. Still, it was very, very emotional throughout the afternoon. You know, obviously Jeff had passed a long time before Astor Day, but yeah, it was just the manner. I think, you know, that Jamie Vardy goal in the last minute, just, it was gut-wrenching.
Yeah, gut-wrenching seems to be something that gets said a lot about the Albion. So number three moments that have shocked the Hawthorns. This is a slightly veer off, but the appointment of Pepe Mel, which I think actually is an interesting one in terms of how it stood the test of time. I think there's a lot of things about it. I mean, it was a surprise at the time, you know, having gone from Steve Clarke and consistently kind of domestic managers to this kind of left field appointment, and which, you know, it kind of just kind of turned everything upside down. It's also kind of the go to reference about Dave McDonough and that era.
Yeah, it was a truly forgettable era for Albion as a club. It was, they had just, I suppose, this kind of backdrop of off the field issues. Everything that went wrong that could have went wrong did, seemingly. So you had kind of player disagreements and arguments. You had everything that was going on with Sada Berahino. Everything, just even the fact that there was kind of a lack of striped socks. Do you remember they had to change to navy socks for the rest of the season at one point because they ran out of the manufacturers weren't going to provide any more blue and white socks. Everything, and the Dave McDonough as well, that element of kind of on the training field, Pepe Mel's language barrier, and then of course there was just the impending relegation battle on the field week in, week out, and you know, Albion managed to drag themselves up to 17th place. Very, very unspectacular.
Yeah, I think that was despite the appointment, not because of it. His first game was against Everton. He drew 1-0 with a goal from Lugano.
God, yeah. I mean, that really was. I remember. I think if I'm right in remembering, he dropped Gareth McCauley for that game.
Yes, I think you're right.
And he brought Lugano in, and of course Lugano scored. And then the week after, he. We went to Villa Park, and McCauley again wasn't playing, and yeah, Lugano managed to miss an open goal at one end, and then rugby tackle Christian Manteca at the other end. It cost us the game at either end of the field. But in going back to that first night, it was quite, it was just a venture into the unknown, really, with Mel. You didn't know. He could have been a Pochettino, or he could have been, well, he's now in his own category, isn't he? People refer to Pepe Mel when a club makes a foreign appointment,
yes,
as being, yeah, the you know, that kind of, that risky taking,
the
lack of Premier League experience. So yeah, I mean, it was fair to say it didn't work out, that one.
No, I think so. So back to the positives.
You've got to cling on to something here.
Yes. the victory against Crystal Palace, which returned Albion to the Premier League and broke hearts in Wolverhampton. What a terrific day that was. April 21st, 2002. You must have, what, about was, three?
I was nine, actually. On April 2002, I was 9 years old.
What was that like for a 9-year old?
Do you know what? I remember I wasn't very well that week after at school. I'll never forget my teacher asking me if I was hungover. I was nine. You know, my teacher decided to ask me, you know, he's just been out, you've been out partying all night.
You know,
it was a glorious day weather wise. It was just that time of year. Everything that went with it, you know, Albion were an absolute, they were a barnstorming run in the league. And of course, you know, every week that they got a result, Wolves didn't.
Yeah,
and the feeling, the confidence, and the belief that they could be caught just grew week after week. Oh, Wolves have dropped another point. Oh, they've dropped another couple of points, and it just kept getting on and on. It snowballed up until that.
I loved how Wolves fed into it as well. It always sticks in my mind where Jack Hayward was going on about how we're gonna lose 5-0, and Akinboy was gonna score a hat trick, and etc. Just the way they brought around their own demise.
I know, just
made it all the more sweet.
I know, it just it was a brilliant. As I say, on the back of that playoff, the disappointment the year before.
Yeah.
To think to yourself, oh, we're gonna have to do it again. Only for our dearly beloved neighbours to help us out. And offer us second place was lovely.
And it was, funny enough, the thing you mentioned, the weather. I went through a period with Albion where I thought if it was sunny, we were going to win.
Yes.
It just seemed to happen that way.
Great escape, lovely weather.
Yeah.
The 5-5 against United, lovely weather. In fact, most of those afternoons under Roy Hodgson in 2011, lovely weather. They had a great run.
The other thing about the Palace game is the scorers. I mean, you couldn't have made it better. You know, Darren Moore, this kind of humbling leader of men, a club legend in Bob Taylor. It was like it was meant to be. What a day that was.
Oh, just, yeah, two absolute fan favourites, and even to this day, Super Bob Taylor and Big Dave, you know, they'll be forever known as those nicknames. You know, you got Darren Moore still patrolling the touchline now, and Bob Taylor, yeah, he's as fondly remembered as any former player.
Yeah, absolutely. So next, while we're being upbeat, I think this is probably my most incredible day in football, the Great Escape Day. I still struggle to kind of put into words what an obscure time that was. You know, walking to the ground, seeing people swapping shirts and that kind of thing. Being at a game where the team you're playing against don't want to win, it's really
it was incredible, wasn't it? I mean, just seeing the Albion shirts and banners and flags and whatever in the away end that day was just it was remarkable. You won't see anything quite like that again.
It wasn't so much, I mean, like, there's a lot spoken about that whole, you know, bottom at Christmas, and, you know, we were bottom, yeah, the day we went into it and so on, and a lot of that. But actually, I don't think it was so much a feat of day. It was just such an obscurity that, you know, the way the day ebbed and flowed in terms of the time. But it was that point. It's been a game where the Portsmouth fans would have been disappointed if they played. They'd have probably booed their own players for scoring.
Yeah, it was. I don't think the Pompey players did go near the goal, really, did they? There was a few games very much like the what we're talking about there and catching Wolves, and every week that confidence grew. There were a couple of setbacks, actually. It worked the other way for me when Albion got spanked at Middlesbrough, then got beat at home to Arsenal, and each of those games you just thought, maybe it's not going to happen after all.
Yeah.
And then of course, obviously, rescued a point at Old Trafford, gave themselves a glimmer of hope, and you knew it was going to take results elsewhere. a significant turnaround elsewhere. And Albion, of course, had to do the business themselves. And even going into the second half, you thought to yourself, is it going to happen? Are Albion going to, you know, kind of, you know, have their end of the bargain? And made the substitutions. Jeff Horsfield scored. And yeah. Never forget Jonathan Fortune. Even now, we'd probably get a pint anywhere in West Ham.
yeah, absolutely. So next, we're being too positive.
We've got to kind of bring it back down a notch.
So I think actually, as it happens, I think a lot of the most shocking things about Albion's recent history have actually happened away from home. We've referenced some of them today, and I mean things like Anelka, you know, at the bowling ground.
Quinelka, yeah.
Mixing things up and so on. One of the things that happened at the Albion ground that I think will live long in the memory is the Kanu Howler miss against Middlesbrough.
I mean, even to this day, you just think. I remember Brian Robson kind of wheeling away,
yeah.
Tony Pulis style, when that happened, and you could just see him mouthing, "How did he miss that?" A player of Kanu's ability, when Albion signed him, you thought, "Wow, this is some coup."
Yes,
for a bloke who's what was he said to be 28 years old at the time.
Yeah,
you thought, "This is incredible. How have we snapped him up?"
Even if he was 45, he'd won him from 2 feet, wouldn't he? You know?
Yeah, he's just. Oh, he was just. I don't think you ever saw him sweat either, did you?
No.
He kind of sauntered around at the top end of the field and probably didn't score as many goals as we'd have liked. But yeah, just ever the coolest man on the field, and for him to. It wasn't even 2 yards, was it? It was.
Oh no!
Under the crossbar.
It was under 2 feet.
He did so well to get it over the bar.
And it's one of those things that's kind of indicative of the. It spoke to where the club were at the time. We lost to Middlesbrough that day. We were,
It was Robson's first game in charge.
Yes.
And it was his big return to the Hawthorns as manager. It was the beginning of the Great Escape era, his Great Escape era.
But kind of the beginning of a slump as well at that point.
But very much like the Regis Nastel days. How anticlimactic was it that Albion would go and lose to a pretty bog-standard mid-table team at the time?
It's a very Albion thing to do, isn't it? Robson called it almost impossible to miss, which I think it would be fair to say. So the next one, this gets... Asked around the office the various Albion fans about the kind of moments that shocked the Hawthorns over the last few years, and absolutely everyone came back with Colchester.
Colchester, 2008. It was one of those you just kind of thought, you turn up at the Hawthorns against a team that I think got relegated that year, so they were struggling at the time. It was the end of March, so Albion were kind of, it was the home straight for Albion's promotion hunt, and they went 2 goals down very quickly.
Yeah,
Albion, and it was just a real shock to the system, and it woke them up, and they got themselves level before half time, and just when you thought at the second half they were cranking it up a few gears, we're going to go and get the winner now. There was always a goal in Tony Mowbray's West Brom team.
Mm-hmm.
Always with that forward line in the midfield, there was goals everywhere, and then they get sucker punched and Colchester score a third, and you thought, oh God, is it going to be one of those games where it didn't happen very often, but one of those games where, you know, they're going to drop some points. Going into added time, you're thinking to yourself, I'll take a point now. This would be letting ourselves off the hook a bit here, and yeah, was it 91st and 93rd or 91st and 94th minute?
The second was almost inevitable, I thought, when they scored the first. Okay, I'll give you a curveball while we're talking about this.
Yes.
So I want to read out the team that day. Tell me whether or not it'd be more likely to win our next game than the one we have now. Kiley, Hofkins, Caesar, Albrechtsen, Robinson, Gira, Greening, Corran, Brunt, Bednar, Phillips. The players that came on were Ishmael Miller, Neil Clement and James Morrison. Would you swap?
Wow. If you were giving me that lineup in their prime at that time against Southampton in the FA Cup. It's a good question. We can have this argument now about the squad 10 years on and how we believe that this squad to be among the best Albion have had in recent history.
Mm.
in terms of the quality throughout. And yet, that group just seems so tight-knit, didn't it?
There was a fluidity to it. I'm not the biggest Mowbray advocate, but that team knew what it was about.
Defenders weren't outstanding. There wasn't any Jonas Olsen, Gareth McCauley.
No, certainly Gray that Evans team. Types, I mean, Cesar and Albrecht.
Seen so many goals. Yeah. But they scored so many as well. Yeah. And Roman Bednar and Ishmael Bila were never more than championship strikers. No. They were good championship strikers at the time. And the midfield spoke for itself. Robert Corrin, I absolutely adore Robert Corrin when he was at the Albion. Yeah. Jonathan Greening, Zoltan Gira, Premier League players.
Well, I love that midfield, especially that. Gira, Greening, Corrin, Brunton, they brought on Morrison. I mean, that's...
And obviously, you've got to remember that Kim Do-hyun was an unused sub. Felipe Teixeira was out injured at the time.
Yeah.
So they had so many options.
I think I probably would just about keep our side now, but it'd be close. So this next one is a game I wasn't at. West Bromwich Albion 5, Man United 5. And I always tell the same story about this, which is that...
Where were you, Graham? Where were you at that time?
Do you know, I don't absolutely know where I was. I might have been in Thailand. Like, wherever I was, my 9-year-old nephew went in my place, took my season ticket, and told my dad, when it was 5-4, I believe, this is a bit boring, isn't it? Which made me think he's probably never going to make a brilliant Albion fan.
Probably lost on him a little bit, I think. Then.
What are your memories of that day?
Oh, it was just delirium at the end. You kind of turned up almost just expecting not Albion to roll over so much, but you kind of expected United to be into such a cruising mode.
Yeah.
And they were, and I remember thinking that United fans that day, they were everywhere. I mean, the first goal went in. Was it an own goal, the first goal? I remember thinking, the whole place was just rammed with United fans. We United fans in the East End, United fans on Bromley Road, and United fans in the away end. They were singing constantly for about 80 minutes, and even when the goals were going in, it was kind of like, "Oh right, let's have a little cheer." But it wasn't. It was just a constant just celebration of Fergie to the point where you couldn't really make out whether they were celebrating goals or not because the singing and the chants never stopped, and. 3-0 going into half time, you're thinking to yourself, this could be anything. United could go and score as many as they want here. And then James Morrison pulled one back just before the break. And then Steve Clarke decided to throw Lukaku on for his last 45 minutes at the club. And, I don't think United were quite expecting it.
No.
So, you know, he scored one. And then it became quite interesting. And then United decided to go up a few gears again and pulled away again and scored a couple more. And from there, you think to yourself, no chance that Albion are getting anything. And I remember thinking at the time as well, I'd have taken 5-4 as a scoreline.
Yeah.
When Mulumbu scored, I thought, that's fine. We've given it a really good go, lads. No, don't worry about it. And then for them to score the fifth was just incredible. I'll never forget Johnny Evans absolutely poleaxing Marcus Rosenberg as well. And being absolutely furious with him.
No, terrific loss. It's always a good go-to reference as well. Whenever you think back to the Pulis era that we once drew 5-all, it just reminds you that there were times where that was possible. Mm. So the next moment that shocked the Hawthorns happened in 2002, and I thought it was just a good time to kind of it came back to my mind really this with the whole Regis thing, but the moment where we, well, in itself was a surprise at the time that we managed to beat Warsaw 1-0, but then Jason Roberts lifts his shirt to reveal a picture of Jeff Astle. I think. It's just one of those moments that kind of lives forever. It's like a photographic moment that I think all our fans remember.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's so I don't know how you put it into words, really. I don't think there were many Albion fans expecting
it. It's like an iconic moment, wasn't it?
Hugely iconic. Yeah, that's definitely the word. That many Albion fans that were kind of expecting it.
No.
And Roberts, of course, on the field before the game last Saturday on Regis Day, he spoke about it, and that afternoon when he did so, and he showed off the photo on his shirt underneath his Albion jersey, and you know that was at least fitting that he scored the winning goal that game.
Yeah, I think it speaks well for him that that's something they did. And then to the final moment that shut the Hawthorns. God, I remember this. This was a gutting one. Michael Appleton's his debut as West Bromwich Albion manager. I think Roy Hodgson was sitting in the stands. 3-0 up.
He was.
Everything was going right.
Oh, it was rosy, wasn't it? Roberto Di Matteo had just departed. And
we thought we'd landed on a genius.
Yeah, so I remember we played Wigan. I think it was during the week we played Wigan at home. And we went 1-0 up. And we just signed Carlos Vela. And we're thinking, okay, wow, this... we're going to have a turnaround here because we're in a horrible, horrible run of form. Mm-hmm. And we were slipping down the table after a fantastic start to the season. And we threw points away in that game as well. We were the better team against Wigan and we threw points away in that game. And Di Matteo got the sack after the defeat at Man City. And so 3-0 up at half time against West Ham, and who were also in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah.
And as the story goes, that it was Scott Parker that gave the half-time team talk, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, from an Albion perspective.
Avram Grant wouldn't be the kind of man that would fill you with a hell of a lot of kind of enthusiasm, I suppose, especially when you're 3-0 down.
No.
So everything went right.
Graham, they edged him out of the way.
Yeah. So Graham Dorren scored a great goal. I think Jerome Thomas scored. And, yeah, everything was going absolutely swimmingly.
And the thing I'll always remember that for was the obscure move. So I think, were we 3-0 up when he was forced to bring Giles Barnes on? And he brought him on as a kind of holding midfielder in an experiment that just absolutely didn't need to be experimented with. and he just got kind of steamrolled through by Parker, who's on that.
Yeah, Scott Parker was a man on a mission that day.
Yeah.
He was a man on a mission that season. I remember he got the award, didn't he, I think, for... Did he get the Writers' Player of the Year or something? Or the Players' Player, something. He was outstanding. He pretty much kept West Ham up, I think. He certainly kind of ran the show in that second half. And Demba Ba was the scourge of Albion that day, as he so often was, really.
Yeah, there's been a lot of moments like that. So that's our list. They're the 10 moments that have shocked the Hawthorns. I like looking back over this era. Really, it kind of reminds you. I mean, some of the things we've been through, things like the Great Escape and the overhauling of walls and that sort of thing. Yeah, there's not many clubs that have this level of these ups and downs. You know, if you look at what kind of Villa for kind of 20 years, they didn't really do anything. But moving on to the next thing, then. So you've been you've been out asking Albion fans about whether or not they would prefer to be to stay in the Premier League and. Win the FA Cup.
So our disclaimer, of course, is that this is being recorded prior to Saturday's FA Cup game against Southampton. It was just really kind of a gauge to see what the kind of consensus was among fans of what they value more. Of course, it was all very hypothetical. Of course, we want to see Albion remain in the Premier League. That goes without saying. Week on week, as it looks more and more difficult to... See them, kind of clawing that back, that ongoing battle in the Premier League. I suppose it's just a welcome distraction, the cup.
So, what's the early feedback? Does it, in my mind, everyone would rather win the FA Cup.
It's quite mixed, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I looked at the pros and cons, and I had a chat with Shane, one of our sports writers, who's a big, big Blues fan.
Yeah.
And he said, even now, after all the years of heartache that Blues have suffered in the last few years, and all those skirmishes, and you know, with relegation to League One, and all the off-field problems, that he would not have changed anything. For that League Cup win.
I think I'd agree with that because obviously it's a hypothetical question, but you can't take it away, can you? That's the thing. You have forever won it, and the truth is that you could stay in the Premier League one season and get relegated the next, and where does that get you? Whereas you win the FA Cup, and
you can't take that away. I realise, financially speaking, 17th place is probably worth more.
Yeah.
To a club than an FA Cup. Trophy, but you know, as Blues fans will tell you, that because of and Villa had they won the cup in 2015, I think it was. If it remains the kind of the bragging rights as well, the local bragging rights, Blues can hold that over other clubs,
yeah,
as Villa were able to about the League Cups in the 90s, and you know, God forbid anybody ever brings up 1982, but. That kind of, you know, it's been so long. It's been 50 years since a significant. I know 10 years ago we had the Championship Trophy and that was fantastic, but 50 years since since some significant silverware.
It's the consummate football debate, isn't it? Really, I mean, actually, winning the FA Cup would get you into Europe, which would almost certainly get you relegated because of the extra games and the without the extra finance, but. This is where it's interesting. This is where football fans and football administrators just are completely kind of distinct, really, because you know that it's just a it's an accident waiting to happen if you're running a club. But for a fan,
I personally think
I'd want to sit there and watch that accident happen.
I personally think the pros outweigh the cons. Actually, you look at everything. Say for argument's sake, Albion win the FA Cup this season, and forget the league side of the argument whether they stay up or go down is irrelevant at this point. Say they win the FA Cup. They will have been to Wembley twice, had two amazing days out as a fan. They will be going back again in the summer for the Community Shield.
Yep.
They'll have a Europa League campaign to look forward to. And a whole new generation of Albion fans will experience those things. Experience a club winning a trophy and European nights at the Hawthorns.
Yeah, I think that's right. Actually, it's a good point. In terms of the kind of longevity of the club, you know, West Bromwich is a place where a lot of Liverpool and Man United fans live as well. And, you know, it's this kind of thing. There's nothing more certain to kind of recruit new fans than the idea that you actually could dare to dream.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be big for that reason. Where do you land on it?
I think I'd be going cup. To be honest, if I was put into a position where I had to choose, in this hypothetical argument, then I would say the FA Cup. I've certainly not seen Albion other than Jonathan Greening with a Division One title.
Yeah.
Do anything. So.
Well, no, I'd be as
you'd be in the same boat.
In danger of agreeing with you. I don't think I could get too far away from the fact that it'd be brilliant to actually see Albion win something in my lifetime. So I think I'd be going for the. Yeah. FA Cup as well.
So if you're listening to this on Sunday morning and we are out, please just delete the last 10 minutes from your brain.
Just we can only apologise for annoying you. But thank you. That's all from us this week. Thank you for joining us as ever, and we'll see you next week for another Woodman Corner.